those of us, those of y'all who are on Facebook, welcome you to participate in the worship by commenting or liking as worship proceeds. I encourage those of y'all who are present, if you want to log in on your Facebook to participate, as well as in person. So remember to turn the volume down. Today there's a session meeting immediately after worship service in the conference room. Then on November 7th, there'll be a congregational meeting, and the reason we need a congregational meeting is to hear the report from the nominations committee and to elect, in order to elect officers. And don't forget about the red folders that are in the pews again, sign that so we can keep track of people who are not here, people who are here, new people, all sorts of good reasons. And then it's time to plan for the marvelous Mardi Gras fundraiser we have every year. They're actually going to have a meeting, organizational committee, and tomorrow at 5:30 in the church parlor. Looking forward to another wonderful Mardi Gras fundraiser banquet. And did you know that if you're worshiping online today, did you know that you can actually get a bulletin? And if you would like a bulletin, just let the church office know, 634-3711. She will send you a bulletin by PDF, email, or regular mail. Remember, if you'd like a copy of the older Presbyterian hymnal, now we have our wonderful new Glory to God hymnals, then one's available out there for you. He's just full of music and singing, and I really have appreciated the church choir since they've been back. So if you have any other joys or concerns, you're also welcome to speak out now or call the church office.
Trunk and treat is, we're going to have cars here, but we're going to hand candy out. People will drive through, so bring your cars, decorate your cars. If you don't decorate your car, I'm going to make you a judge, and then you have to disappoint people. So just come. It's 5 to 7 on the 31st, and so just come in here and park your cars, and bring the people right down through the gauntlet, I guess you want to call it, and then they can go out the back entrance and stuff like that, okay? 5 to 7. Anybody has any ideas, you can call me. I won't be in town next week, but I'll be back on the 27th, something like that. But so I have my cell phone number. Just give me a call. It should be, we're going to Big Bend, so I don't know. I'll get a message. I'll get back to you as far as cell phone. But just call me and if you have any questions, okay? All right. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, Good morning. This is the house of God. All are welcome here. Let us pray. Most High, your anointed one offered himself freely as a witness against our violence, our acts of oppression, and our sin. As you delighted to call him your son, give us the courage to bring you equal delight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand as you're able for the call to worship. We gather to worship God. We gather to worship God.
Who rides the winds like a chariot and wears light as a garment.
We gather to worship God.
Who suffers the sake of our lives and offers us life abundant.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us worship God. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 32. I sing the mighty power of God.
Sees around.
in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, our sins are indeed washed away. We're new creatures able to live together in peace and in love. So now, as grateful, forgiven Christians, let's stand together and sing glory to God.
Prayer of illumination. Ever-present God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, please enlighten us that we might understand your word unto us, that we might hear what you have us to hear, and live as you would have us to live. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen. Now, the New Testament reading today is out of Mark, the 10th chapter, 35th verse through verse 45. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Holy wisdom, holy words.
the children please join me up front?
Loves us all so much is that he was willing to die for us. That's so hard. That's so hard because there's several places it says that greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You can imagine that's the greatest possible love. And that's the kind of love that God has. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you love us each so very much that nothing can separate us from your love of Jesus Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Our next reading is from Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness. And because of this, he must offer sacrifice for his own sins as well as for those of the people. And one does not presume to take this honor, but takes it only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also, Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son today, I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we reviewed what it means to be a priest in a history lesson of the priesthood after the Egyptian captivity. Last week, we considered what it means that Jesus has ushered us into God's presence, and that Jesus understands us like no other. Today, we're going to talk about the word atonement and three traditional ways of looking at how Jesus reconciles us with God in his atoning role. Now, it may sound like we're going off the rails in our series, but the central role of a priest is atonement. Atonement is a unique word. It's made up of the preposition at, the noun one, and the suffix meant, at one meant. It literally means the process of making humans and God at one. Another way of saying it is the process of reconciling sinful humans with a perfect and holy God. When we did our history lesson, we talked about God and God's presence symbolized by the Ark of the Covenant, which was separated from the children of Israel by a curtain, first in the tent called the tabernacle, and then in Solomon's temple. As you recall, we mentioned that only priests were allowed in the room behind the curtain, known as the Holy of Holies. What we did not talk about was what the priest did when the priest went into the Holy of Holies. When God established the tabernacle at the foot of Mount Sinai, where and when the Ten Commandments were handed down by God to the people and to Moses, God also established the priesthood at that time and the practice of sacrifice in various rituals and holidays. One of the holidays, or holy days, was the Day of Atonement, which happens in October. The Day of Atonement is still considered a particularly important day on the Jewish calendar. You know what it's called? Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur. In Exodus 30, the Lord told Moses that his brother Aaron, the first high priest, was, quote, "Once a year, Aaron shall perform the rite of atonement on its horns," the horns of the altar. "Throughout your generations, he shall perform the atonement for it once a year with the blood of atoning sin offering. It is most holy to the Lord." Now, on the Day of Atonement, the priest would go into the Holy of Holies on behalf of the children of Israel. He would place the blood from the sacrifice on the horn of the altar. Now, this blood was seen as an atoning sacrifice for the sins of the people. Now, today we'll focus on the meaning of atonement. In the time of Moses, atonement was ritualized through blood sacrifice. Unblemished animals, stay with me, it'll make sense in a minute. Unblemished animals who had been recognized as gods in Egypt, such as bulls and rams, were killed, and their blood was poured on the altar. The blood of unblemished animals was seen as payment for the sins of the people. Death of an animal was substituted for the penalty of death that came with disobedience. Now we're going to make a move from history to theology. Now I apologize in advance because we're going to be getting into the weeds here, but this is particularly important for me. For years, I heard in Sunday school that Jesus was the unblemished lamb, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, the necessary price paid to satisfy the penalty owed to God. When I got older and started to look at what I believed, I had a crisis of faith about this issue. Simply stated, I agonized over the question, well, if God is sovereign, that means makes all the rules, why would a loving God make a rule that said forgiveness could only come through a price paid by a death? Couldn't an all-powerful God say, you don't deserve it, but I forgive you? Spoiler alert, I believe that's exactly what God did. But let's talk about, watch the term here, penal substitutionary atonement. I know that's why you came to church today. You just wanted to talk about penal substitutionary atonement. But bear with me. By the way, the church has never adopted a doctrine that says you have to believe this about atonement. What it has said is you have to believe that Jesus saves us. Now, how that's accomplished, that's been explained a lot of different ways. We acknowledge that somehow Jesus, through Jesus living, dying, and resurrection, has effectuated our salvation. We believe that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. We express that belief through a number of theories, all of which are helpful, but none of which are completely satisfactory. Now that makes sense if you think about it, because God is eternal and we are finite. And we're trying to explain an eternal God using our finite terminology, our finite words that we have to work with. So it's no wonder that we can't get it perfectly. The classical theory of Jesus' atonement for us was developed by the 11th century theologian called Anselm. His theory is sometimes called the objective view. Anselm argued that by sinning, humans have offended God's honor and owe God satisfaction beyond the trust and obedience that God originally requires. What humans owe God is something referred to as a price or a ransom or a penalty, because everything we have already belongs to God. Only a perfect human being, that is Jesus Christ, could pay the penalty for us. Jesus, by giving his life on the cross, paid the penalty, the price, the ransom, and satisfied God's honor. So the fancy term, penal substitutionary atonement, comes from Jesus paying the penalty, substituting himself for us in atonement for our sins. Now, note the strength of this theory is that it matches up with Jesus as our priest. Jesus is both the priest offering the unblemished sacrifice, and Jesus is the unblemished sacrifice. Note the weakness of this theory. God is unable to forgive without receiving a payment. In rebuttal to this, let us consider the story called the Akedah. The word Akedah refers to binding, tying together. Remember that Isaac was bound by Abraham to be a sacrifice. And as the story goes, God told Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. Now, the idea that God would want a human sacrifice is profoundly disturbing. But note that God stops the process. God stays Abraham's hand, and the sacrifice is canceled. One message from this story is God does not really want human sacrifice. God wants faithful obedience. So this leads to a second traditional theory of atonement. That is how Jesus reconciled us to God through his life, death, and resurrection. Remember that Jesus is God who took on human flesh to come among us. And Jesus walked among us in that flesh. A second view of atonement, sometimes called the subjective view, is associated with a contemporary of Anselm named Abelard. And he suggests that Jesus' coming, condescension from heaven, and ultimate death on a cross was the perfect example of self-giving love. Jesus, who was God, demonstrated God's love for us by experiencing our suffering and showing the greatest possible love, that is, willingness to die for another. Jesus, our priest, demonstrates perfect love that is hard for humans to understand in abstract theological terms. It's one thing for God to say that God loves us over and over again through law and through prophets. It's another thing for God to become human and die for us. Greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. The strength of this theory is that it takes seriously Jesus' incarnation and Jesus' life, as well as Jesus' death. A weakness in this theory is a lack of accountability for sin and lack of emphasis on resurrection. So a third approach to Jesus' atonement is called Christus Victor, the title of a 1936 book by Gustav Allen, a Lutheran theologian. The Christus Victor theory suggests that the devil introduced sin and death into our world and holds humanity captive. Jesus' death was a ransom paid to redeem sinful humanity. But God raised Jesus from the dead in order that there might be victory over the forces of sin and death. Ever heard, "Up from the grave he rose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes"? You see why I'm not in the choir. That hymn is by Robert Lowry. And the strength of this theory is the way it emphasizes the resurrection. The weakness of this theory is the power it gives to the devil. Whatever theory or theories we hold, we come to one central point and one central affirmation: the saving work of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. To put it in the language of Hebrews, Jesus is our priest, our high priest, who accomplishes our reconciliation with God. Because Jesus is God, he was not limited as the priests in the line of Aaron were, because they were also sinful humans. What it means that Jesus was a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek is a discussion for another day. Suffice it to say that we are reconciled to God through the saving life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. May each of us live in relationship with God and each other according to God's plan. Amen. having heard the word of God to us through song and scripture and message, let us stand together and say what we believe using the words printed in the bulletin, the affirmation of faith adapted from the Confession of 1967. What do you believe? Jesus Christ is God with humankind. He is the eternal Son of the Father, who became human and lived among us to fulfill the work of reconciliation. He is present in the church by the power of the Holy Spirit to continue and complete his mission. This work of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the foundation of all confessional statements about God, humanity, and the world. Therefore, the church calls all people to be reconciled to God and to one another. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in your Glory to God hymnal to number 321, The Church's One Foundation.
Thank you. Please be seated. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Let us offer our lives, our tithes, and our offerings to the Lord. Will the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. Remembering the world that God so loves, we pray to the Maker of heaven and earth, saying, "Let your will be done." We pray for the church. Strengthened by your Spirit, enable us to share the baptism of Christ's suffering and death in the cup of his new covenant. Let your will be done. We pray for the world. Hear the prayers and supplications of your people throughout the earth who cry out to you for deliverance. Let your will be done. We pray for our communities. Give us the spirit of humble service, not lording power over one another, but working together for the good of all. Let your will be done. We pray for the earth. May the beauty of the season inspire us to worship you. Grant us wisdom in the choices we make in the use of your creation. Let your will be done. We pray for loved ones. Help them to know the presence of Christ in all their afflictions and infirmities, Out of their anguish, let them see light. Let your will be done. Sovereign God, keep us watching and working for the promise of your heavenly realm until all the earth rejoices at your coming in glory through Jesus Christ, the Lord of life. Above all, we give you thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now please stand as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to our hymn of the month, number 702, Christ Be Beside Me. Charge you to go out into the world in peace. Live.